Getting back together with anyone we love can be a wonderful thing, especially if the loved one is somewhat smaller and a lot fuzzier than us. Yes, it's great to see the dog after a hard day at the office or have a sit with the cat snuggled in our lap. But there are animal reunions of another kind, like when researchers get to know animals in the wild in their natural environments and see them again years later. Such episodes are the stuff of animal reunions, tonight's installment of the PBS show Nature, airing at 8 on most PBS stations. Our next guest is part of the episode. Virginia Morell is a science writer with a long, long list of credits to her name for National Geographic and a number of other publications. And she's the author of the book Animal Wise, How We Know Animals Think and Feel, a New York Times bestseller. And Virginia Morell lives in the Ashland area, so she's here in the studio with us. Good to see you again.
Good to see you, too.
So let's talk about this your part of this episode of Nature.
The crew came here last summer, actually, to Ashland. It was a two-man crew, and talked to me about the reasons. What do scientists know about why wild animals would, say, want to get together again with a human who had either raised them or had some kind of a social relationship with them?
Is there a rich list of situations like that to draw from?
There actually are. It's surprising. But some of it is due to, for instance, in Kenya, where there's been a lot of elephant poaching, and you end up with baby elephants that are the rest of the herd has been killed, and then these orphans are left alone. And there's an organization, the Daphne Sheldrick Refuge, Elephant Refuge, I don't have the name exactly correct, but she rescues baby elephants. And then she has a group of men caretakers who look after the babies and raise them, feed them, basically act like the adults that the babies would have known in their own herds, and then release them back into the wild. And so one of the episodes is of a caretaker who goes back to see two of the babies he had cared for. Actually, he goes to see one, but another one comes up as well. A little jealous.
Really? Yes. Mom, you're back.
Yeah, exactly. Look at me.
And how long a period then between the last time that these elephants saw the humans when they were young and the time they reunited?
I think in that case it might have been 2 years. In all of the cases, the people haven't seen the animals for a while, for a year to 2 years, maybe longer in some cases. And you can see the look on the scientists or the caretakers' face that they're a little uneasy, a little unsure. You know, one is with a gorilla who could, of course, a silverback gorilla could inflict a lot of harm. Kill a person. Another one with a chimpanzee, it's the same situation. In fact, in that case, the woman researcher asks the filming crew to stand back, and she has her husband film her because they just don't know what the chimpanzees will do, how they'll react. Mm-hmm. And it's true with the elephants, too. You really don't know. You know, will they remember you? Will they either recognize the sound of your voice or your scent, or will they attack you? There's no way to predict.
Well, it certainly makes great TV when the reunions are heartfelt, and it seems like the animals know, and it seems like the internet has gone crazy about the images of Christian the lion, for one. Is that included in this?
That is not included in this, you know, and I thought it was going to be. I didn't see any of the actual reunions that they were going to show, but they talked to me in general about what they were doing. For me, one of the most interesting was of a ranger in South Africa who is a photographer, a filmmaker, and he made friends with a wild cheetah. And he just did so by being with her and kind of watching her over the course of about a year or so. And eventually she came to trust him so much that he could go with her where she was hunting. And then she disappears for a while, and he finds her again, and she has babies. So he really doesn't know what she's going to do if he goes out. And they, you know, obviously the film crew wants him to get out of the vehicle they're in and go out and say hello to the cheetah.
Easy for the film crew to say.
Yeah, exactly. And you can see the expression on his face, you know, sort of like, I don't know, this is such a brilliant idea. But that also is interesting to see what he does. I don't want to spoil it for viewers, but to see what he does is quite fascinating to watch.
Animal reunions is the topic of tonight's episode of Nature on PBS, airing at 8 o'clock on most of the PBS stations. Virginia Morell is part of the episode. She is a science writer and the author of Animal Wise, How We Know Animals Think and Feel. Join us on the Jefferson Exchange. Your questions, comments, thoughts on human-animal relations, welcome at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email jx@jeffnet.org. Did the success of Animal Wise surprise you at all? It seems like this is like a whole other career all by itself, that talking about animals.
Well, it's become something of another career by itself. Certainly people are just fascinated. I think it's because there was such a long period in the last century when we were told that animals didn't have thoughts or emotions. But at the same time, most of us who have dogs or cats or horses, any relationship with another animal, you know that animal is thinking and feeling. And so having scientists now break open that previously forbidden area of research, it's just opened the floodgates. People really want to know. And what's exciting to me is how researchers have found ways into the minds and emotions of the animals we share the planet with.
To actually know more about what they're thinking, they're feeling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the way that they've gone about it so that this research is solid. It's quite exciting. In fact, I was just working on a piece that will come out either tomorrow or Friday on Science's website, Science Now, about cognition in large cats, leopards, tigers, lions, hyenas aren't a big cat, but they used hyenas because they're also a social carnivore. They wanted to look at the differences between social carnivores and carnivores that are more solitary, and who is smarter at a certain kind of task.
well, which raises a question, because we keep hearing as we go further and further into discoveries in neuroscience and throw everybody in the world into the fMRI to find out how our brains work with each other, that humans are very social animals. They really need to be together. Big surprise there. Does it make our brains bigger and better, and does it for animals as well?
That's the idea. There is a hypothesis that was put forward actually in the mid-60s called the social intelligence hypothesis. And it suggested that the reason that primates had become smart and why our brains enlarged was not because we invented tools or used tools or did any of those things. It was because we had to pay attention to the other people or other animals we lived with, and we had to be thinking constantly about what the other guy I was doing or planning. So as you had calculations that you were doing, but they were social calculations. Who scratched whose back, and for how long, and do I need to scratch that guy's back, and is he really doing it to be a friend to me, or is he going to deceive me later? You know, I mean, all of these things require a lot of brain cells.
Indeed.
And so that apparently is one reason why our brains grew in size, and you see it across species, even social wasps. The bigger role a wasp has in its hive, the larger its brain is. So the queen has a very large brain. She's very, very social. And you see it in dolphins. It's why dolphins have large brains, is because they're very busy. The males are very busy making alliances in order to grab females and keep females with them, and other dolphins want to come out and steal those females. So who are the allies, and can you trust your allies? You know, very much like the world political scene.
Scheming takes a lot of brain cells, it turns out.
It does.
I remember back to the book, to Animal Wise, that we talked about a number of creatures that were not warm and fuzzy. Think, you know, like ants, and you pointed out that they're what looked like a freak out when we interrupt their patterns is actually an organized drill. I remember hearing about that. So within the context of tonight's nature episode on animal reunions, was it generally mammals?
Yes, it was all mammals, mm-hmm. and they wanted to. Some of the questions that they asked me were about what is the bond between mammals, you know, what would lead to, say, a young gorilla still seeking out this relationship that he had had with his caretaker, this fellow Aspinall. And so I talked about it in terms of first, the bond between mother and child in mammals is that's the bond that holds all mammals together. It's the mother-child. And we know that there's so much oxytocin that's released.
The bonding hormone.
Yeah, the bonding hormone. And it's not just in humans, you know, it's in mammals across the board and in many different species. So that's what takes place in a lot of these reunions as well, probably.
So,
I mean, obviously they didn't measure the guy's blood levels of oxytocin or that of the gorillas, but definitely we know from other tests of what's going on in animals, rats and mice and dogs and cats, that they also release it.
So there is a release even when you're dealing with somebody not in your own species.
Yes, yeah. And they've also done experiments with dogs where they've train dogs. Dogs are such willing animals, you know, so you can train them. Yes, I will sit in the fMRI machine perfectly still. I love you. I will do it.
Stay.
Yeah, easy, you know, easy to do with a dog. They can see that the same areas in the brain light up, especially if they hear their owner's voice, various things that they can measure and look at and see that, in fact, the same parts of the brain are being used that are as in humans during similar situations.
Virginia Morell is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, a science writer who's been writing about animals for a number of years now and is the author of Animal Wise, How We Know Animals Think and Feel. She'll be part of the PBS show Nature tonight with the episode on animal reunions. You can join us right now on the Exchange. Questions, comments, thoughts about animals and how they get along with humans. 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Is Jane Goodall in this episode tonight? I saw her in some of the promos for
yes.
it. Yeah.
Yes, they interviewed her and asked her about what she experienced, what her experiences were like with other scientists when she first began to study the wild chimpanzees in Tanzania. And at that time, of course, you weren't allowed to talk as a scientist about animals having emotions or thoughts or any of those things. And I'm brought in at one point. It amused me to talk about what Jane had accomplished. And I said, well, one of the most important things she did was to give the chimpanzees their biographies. She made them real individuals. She gave them their personalities. She gave them their life stories, or she brought these things to us. She opened our eyes to these things. But as she says, you know, in the program, that at the time when she started her research, she just received so much criticism for naming her chimpanzees rather than giving them numbers, for saying that they had personalities, for saying that they had, that you know, each chimpanzee mattered in its society, his or her society, that they had emotions that other than being angry or violent. Chimpanzees, any animal could be angry. That was allowed, but she couldn't as an animal be feel love or joy or any of the things that we would consider a positive emotion.
Sadness and separation among them.
Yes, yes.
So is there a generally accepted protocol? I mean, you've been writing about animals and scientists dealing with animals for years now, and is there an accepted protocol now for dealing with the animals that are your research subjects in terms of things like naming and stuff like that? Because I know that having talked to the folks just at Wildlife Images outside Grants Pass, when they have bears, for example, that they plan on releasing in the wild, they won't give them names.
Well, they probably do that more to protect themselves, the human side of the relationship, because it is very hard to let go. And so, you know, I think there's a saying that if you don't name your chickens, if they're going to go into the pot, you know.
They're easier to eat.
Yes, exactly. You know, that we do have this empathy that we feel for other beings. We can feel it even for our car. And that was one reason, actually, that scientists first wanted to do things such as use numbers and to not acknowledge the emotional side of animals, because they weren't really sure, were you actually studying that or were you only projecting your own feelings onto the animal, which is something we do. We give our car's name. So
I'm reminded of that every morning when I hear the spots of letting people know that they can donate their cars
for
public radio. A lot of people name their cars.
Yes, yes, exactly.
Was there in this episode of Nature, the Animal Reunions episode, was everything sort of like 2 years or fewer in terms of separation? I mean, did they test any animals for much longer periods?
Boy, I'm trying to remember what the longest. I think it was about 2 years. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't really recall specifically.
Which gets us to the question and of memory. And I know you discussed the fact that there are elephants in here. And I just is it true about elephants and memories, for one thing?
Do they have
amazing ones? Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Elephants do, and they know this from doing studies of, and it sounds rather cruel, and I know the researchers probably wouldn't do it again, but they, in some cases, they've done playback experiments where they had the greeting call of an elephant who had died some years before, say 10 years before, and played it to her herd, some years, well, 10 years later, 5-10 years later. And yes, the elephants recognized her voice and did a whole, you know, began looking for her. And so they didn't continue with that experiment. It was sort of cruel.
It does sound kind of cruel, yeah.
And also they know, in, like in dolphins, this was an extraordinary experiment where they, this fellow, I think they were dolphins who had been together, say, in various public aquaria or like at SeaWorld or something, and then they were separated. They were put in different aquariums around the country. And so there were recordings of those dolphins from at when they were together, and then this researcher found them again, the individuals again, and he made new recordings, and then he played them to the friends that they'd been with. And those dolphins didn't want to leave the speaker. They dived down, and they hung out by the speaker. They listened, and they just got extremely excited, and they didn't want to leave.
It was like a phone call to an old friend.
It was, yeah.
So how
very, very touching.
How much then has the knowledge of animals expressing emotions, has that had a back effect on researchers? I mean, are they more careful in ways like not playing the trumpet of a dead elephant because they're being mindful of things that could stress the animals?
Yes, yeah, hugely. Especially those who have had long-term projects, ongoing projects such as that with Cynthia Moss. She's also interviewed in the program too, and she studied the elephants in Amboseli for over 30 years now. They're very, very conscious of the fact that these elephants not only know the other elephants in their group, but they know the researchers. When I went there to Amboseli, what was one of the funny moments was being in the car with the researchers, and a herd of elephants came by. One of the younger ones kind of walked by the car and raised her trunk and tilted it at us, and then turned her head away with kind of a look of it, disgust. And the one researcher said, she knows all of us. She recognizes our smell, but she doesn't know you. With one lift of her trunk, she knew there was somebody different, unknown in the car, and she didn't like my smell.
Oh, wow, that's amazing. Almost
ooh,
out of
she said, ooh, mommy, who's that?
Right, that's pretty much it. We're almost out of time here, Virginia Morell. I just want to ask if, without giving away too much, is there stuff that in the episode that surprised you in Animal Reunions?
Yes, I think, again, it was just the apprehension, the concern that the scientists had, and then the response of the animals. And I really don't want to spoil that for anyone, but it is it's so heartwarming. It's so uplifting. It is a truly wonderful program without being sappy or sentimental. It's just an eye-opener.
The show is Nature. The episode is Animal Reunions. Virginia Morell is part of it. It'll air on most PBS stations tonight at 8 o'clock. Virginia Morell is a science writer and the author of Animal Wise, How We Know Animals Think and Feel. Thanks so much for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
It was a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
Great to have you back.